Hello, this is Genoa.
And this is Yusuf.
And this is
And Fly Entertainment. The continuously long quarantine episodes.
We are still trying to find movies for you to watch while you're stuck at home with a family, because at least, well, here in Los Angeles, we are going back on lockdown. They sort of loosened up the guidelines a little bit, but now they're tightening it up again.
Yes. And we're not mad about that. I mean, I thought they opened things up a little too soon, but that's just my opinion.
I mean, me too. And I mean, I still only leave the house to walk Heidi, but the only time I interact with human, I go to the grocery store once a month. So,
right. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's it. So you and Heidi still kind of do a walk around or sometimes?
Yeah, we walk around the block wearing our masks as we social distance from people. But Heidi's always been a social distancing dog, so that's just standard operating process for us.
Yeah, especially if she come across a small dog and she's really doubling the distance.
Yes, yeah. Gotta get away from those. They're terrifying.
But
for today, we're looking at possibly our last quote unquote new movie for a while. After this week, we may be going into throwback 100% of the time.
Yeah, reason being is, we don't have many new releases to review because the theaters, I mean, I think they're shut down indefinitely now. I know Tenet originally supposed to have come out. They pushed it to August. Now I just heard that they delayed it indefinitely. Streaming, VOD. I mean, it's just slim pickings right now. And so me and Jenna decided we still going to give you guys some awesome reviews, but we just going to scale it back to more of some familiar movies from here on out until we get more new releases for us to do Tuesday reviews on.
Right. So after this week, we are going to dive into the world of movies that have the word last in it.
Yes. So take your pick. We already have our bunch that we're going to do, and I think you guys are going to like them, our choices. But today, what are we talking about?
Well, before we get into today, I have a correction.
Okay.
From our White Men Can't Jump, I mentioned that Boston College went on probation for betting scheme that the Boston College basketball players had. It was actually 78-79. I think I said 90 something. So it was in the late 70s.
Okay. Oh, that was in the 70s, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought that was like 80s or something. Anyway. Yeah. So, but yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, scandal is scandal. Sports scandals are sports scandals. Whatever. Cool. So what's going on today?
We are diving into the Gina Prince Blythewood movie, The Old Guard, which premiered July 10th on Netflix.
Yep.
And it stars Charlize Theron, Kiki Lane, and a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, and I always butcher his name.
It's all for you to say.
He was the lead in 12 Years a Slave. That guy. He's Mordor. Yeah,
Chiwetel
Ejiofor. Him. And he was I forgot his name. Moldor and Doctor Strange. So yeah, I'm sure you're familiar with him. He's in a lot of movies. Pretty much Kiki Lane, Charlize Theron, and my man Ejiofor. Those are the three noticeable like actors when you see him on screen. It's like, oh yeah, I know him. I know her. Everyone else is fairly unknown. I don't know if they're like British actors and like BBC.
I recognized the actor that played Booker, who is played by Matthias Schoenaerts. Okay. I'm sure I just messed up his last name. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, it's all good.
Not all of us can have easy names like Jenna Wisher-Hagen.
That's right. Or Yusuf Khan. This film is based off of a comic book series, a graphic novel series created by what's his name?
Greg
Rucka.
Yeah.
Yes. And he's been in the comic book game for a minute. So he created any of the comic book people, the Lazarus series, which is pretty interesting. Black Magic. He did a couple of runs at the Wonder Woman series. And the Old Guard comic book series is the artist. His name is Leandra Fernandez. She penciled illustrations for like Deadpool, a couple of runs at the Punisher. So it was a well received comic book series that I think 2017 Netflix inquired and it's like, hey, you know, it's a pretty good series. I think we should like take a stab at comic books and making it exclusively streamed films. Which is smart because, like I said, Disney got theirs. You know, why not Netflix?
Yeah. Well, and also, like, if you think about it, there aren't any action movies that really have a female lead that are more than just one-off action movies. So, except for maybe Charlie's Angels, but I wouldn't even call that really an action series. But, yeah. Like, we have Fast and Furious, we have all the Marvel, all the DC, that all have these male-led action-type movies. Right. James Bond, I mean, Mission Impossible. So this gives us, I mean, so Netflix has only released the first one, but I believe they've already, they've agreed to do the second one. It's just a matter of when that can actually happen.
Right, yeah.
And there are five graphic novels in the series. So they have some material to select from.
Right.
Yeah. And I know that interviews that Charlize Theron has done, she said that she's excited that she can do more than one. And she actually discovered this series when she was filming Atomic Blonde. Mm-hmm. And after filming that, she was really excited to have something else that was big in action like this.
Right. Yeah, definitely. And like I said, Charlize, she's no stranger to action and she does it extremely well. Like I said, Atomic Blonde, which is another movie that was based off of a graphic novel. And Fury Road, which was deceptively Furiosa story, and Mad right. Max was just kind of accompanying her journey throughout the movie. He was kind of like, all right, let me help you out because this is kind of your show.
And then there's Aeon Flux.
Yeah. It had moments. It wasn't a bad movie. I mean, people like, oh, that was horrible. It wasn't horrible. It was some missed opportunities, but you know, it was fine.
I feel like it's one of those movies where when you first see it, when it first came out, there's lots of high hopes, and you go back and watch it, and you're like, if I didn't know about the animation or anything, it's, you know,
yeah, it was fine.
It's, exciting. Yeah.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. Yeah. Because, yeah, they think about that. And then, you know, we were talking about, you know, movie action movies with leads. Well, you had, you know, the Tomb Raider series, and you had, speaking of Angelina, one of my favorite, like, films that came out that year was Salt, when she was like that.
Yes.
That I'm so bummed that they didn't do a sequel to that movie. That movie was awesome.
And you know, when that was originally written, it was written for a male character.
Yep.
So
yeah.
I think Angelina Jolie was a producer on it, and she asked why it couldn't be a woman, and so she ended up.
Yep. And then the writers were going to go back and, you know, change some stuff up to incorporate her, and she said no. Like, you wrote it as a guy. You know, just keep it as the situations. Don't try to feminize the character. Like, if this character is going through a window, this keep blowing stuff up, you know, without like having attention to like his sexuality or whatever, then that's how it's gonna be, you know. Is that
right? And then we can't forget the original Alien.
Oh yeah, Ripley. Alien. Oh yeah, Ripley. Yeah, and then the Terminator 2, Sarah Connor right. doing her thing.
But
this, yeah, I mean, like I said, we just going down pretty much. Oh, we were talking about Terminator. We definitely gonna do that. So, speaking of which,
so what is the Old Guard? It is about a covert team of immortal mercenaries who are suddenly exposed and must now fight to keep their identity a secret, just as an unexpected new member is discovered. So this has some. It reminded me of Highlander.
I knew you were gonna say that. that's what reminded me of that too. I was like, this is the Highlander sequel I wanted, but right. didn't get.
Yes. I mean, if all of the Highlanders came together instead of trying to fight each other to be the one to help history and defeat the evils of the world. That's what you would have the Old Guard.
Exactly.
And it's funny. There's so many conversations in this movie about we can't necessarily die, but we die eventually. I was like, just chop off their head. They're going to die if you chop off their head.
Exactly. Right. And then lightning is going to shoot out everywhere. And, you know, right. And then your sword glows, you know.
I mean, whether it's vampires or Highlanders.
So, yeah, same thing. Yeah.
I mean, if you chop off the head of something, regardless if it's immortal, it's not immortal anymore.
You know what what probably would have gave me kind of like, you know, like a joygasm if they did that. Because, okay, so within the movie, when the Charlize Theron character go the exposition scenes, and there's a lot of it because you need exposition. There's visual flashbacks of her and another immortal that she like met like way back. I was hoping in one scene, like they come across a person that kind of might look like Christopher Lambert with a sword.
So many opportunities. There's so many Highlanders in the TV show, The Highlander,
yeah.
that they could have had any of those actors in one of the flashbacks, and it just would have made all of us nerds really, really happy.
Yeah, we would have lost our collective shit. But whatever, that's just wishful thinking. I mean, that's a totally different franchise. I'm sure they're like, no, you can't incorporate that shit in your stuff, even though they should. Anyway, so, you know, okay, what's really cool about this film is it have those, you know, propulsive action scenes, and it's, you know, it have like really good, you know, fights and good choreographed shootouts. But what I felt like very compelling is like the more character driven, just more get to know these people moments that I was like really gravitating towards, because I see what they could do. Yeah, they're immortal, awesome. But like given the movie just scenes where they just kind of sitting around and just kind of, you know, going into their stories and going into the flashbacks, so you know more, so you get to know them. So when you start getting into like the stakes of them into the third act, you kind of care about them because you know them a little more. It's like, oh yeah, he's cool. Oh, they're awesome couple. They love each other. Yeah, you don't want them to die. You don't want them to like get split up, whatever. Yeah, but that's what I really like about this movie. It took time to really invest in the characters, not just, you know, your character pieces to just, you know, catapult to another, to the next action scene, or just catapult to the next scene. It gave it some time to breathe and know the team. That's why I really like that movie.
So, who is the team? The team is led by Andy, played by Charlize. Mm-hmm. Then we have, so this is the original team. Booker, who's played by the Norwegian actor I that looks familiar to me, Mathias Schoenaerts. Joe, and then Nikki. And so we've open up the movie finding out that they have been hired by Copley, who's this like ex-CIA agent, to go in and save a bunch of villagers. And while they're in there, they're actually ambushed. And this is where I find out that there's an evil pharmaceutical guy trying to capture them and steal their secret and how they've become immortal so that he can get the cure to life.
Yeah. So were you watching like, yeah, those pharmaceutical companies?
It feels so appropriate to have an evil pharma person. I mean, come on.
You were like, yeah.
So the evil pharma guy, his name is Merrick, which I found very amusing that was his name, because it's similar to a pharma company called Merck. And he's played by Harry Melling. Picture, he's like a cross between Elon Musk, but like a mad scientist.
Yeah, and twice as nerdy looking.
Right.
It's funny kind of how I was like a slight cockeyed going a little bit. That was pretty like weird looking. I was like, yeah, you look a little deranged.
Yeah, it's like that creepy white dude.
Yeah. They're always rocking hoodies.
Right. So they are the old guard get away, but while they are getting away, they all have a vision of this new team member. And so this is how we find out that whenever a new team member is joining their ranks, they all dream of that person. Right. And that person also, while they are becoming immortal, and they become immortal the same way you would in Highlander, is it? You die and come back, and now you're immortal. And the new person is played by Kiki Lane. Her name in the movie is Nile.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a like U.S. Army person. Mm-hmm. And when she was in the Middle East, sort of doing reconnaissance and taking out some bad guys, she gets taken down and gets her throat slit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how she becomes immortal. So they're all dreaming about each other, but at the same time, they have to go after Merck and Copley to keep them from letting everyone know their secret. So the parties divide, and this is where we have Nile and Andy meeting and then having their big fight scene.
All right. Exactly. For those who don't know Kiki Lane, she's the lead in If Beale Street Could Talk. Amazing performance. She's a really great up and comer. She's physical, clearly. She can hold her own. And definitely, like, far as her character, you know, just trying to. Okay, here's the parallels, right? When I watched this film, like, I was thinking about the Beats from the first Matrix. All right, I'm about to break down why. Okay, so think of Kiki as like the one who kind of like woke up, and Charlize is your Morpheus that's kind of that's talking to her and telling her about this new world that she's in and how she need to adapt and survive, right? And we get more deeper into the story. There's your betrayal within the group, right? So that betrayer, who was the guy? I forgot the dude that betrayed everybody and gave Booker, right? That's his name, Booker.
In the old guard, yeah.
Okay, Booker. No, Booker, right. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Booker is the one that kind of dropped the dime and, you know, had the baddies come in and take, you know, the couple. Yeah.
Yes.
That's Cypher from the first Matrix, right? That kind of dropped the dime on the group and, you know, and kidnapped, you know, the key players, right? And so
married couple in the old guard are Joe and Nikki. Mm-hmm. Nikki is a man, just in case you didn't know. Right. And which I love in this movie that they didn't really, like, they didn't overplay the gay relationship. It's just sort of, here are two people that have spent 1,000 years together that are in love, and you're trying to separate them, and how dare you?
Right, exactly. Yeah, and it was a real portrayal of a relationship, because if you're with somebody for like thousands of years, I mean, you're not. You way beyond the point of PDA, you know, the public display of affection. It's kind of like, yeah, you know, we with each other, you know, it's all good. Like, you know, it's, they're like, after 1,000 years, they're going to be like make out sessions every like 2 minutes with each other. It's like, yeah, we love each other. We're like, we're here.
Right. I actually want to read the quote about how he says that we're together, because it is a fantastic romantic, and this is coming from me who's dead inside. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes. Mm-hmm. So Joe and Nikki have been kidnapped, captured by some
mercenaries. Yeah.
And someone asks them, oh, is he your boyfriend? He goes, you're a child, an infant. Your mocking is just infantile. He's not my boyfriend. This man is more to me than you can dream. He's the moon when I'm lost in darkness, and warmth when I shiver in cold. And his kiss still thrills me even after millennia. His heart overflows with a kindness of which this world is not worthy of. I love this man beyond measure and reason. He's not my boyfriend. He's all and he's more. It's just so sweet.
I know. And then have that funny kind of like pregnant pause with the mercenaries kind of looking at the weird like. What? and then one of them like separate them.
Yeah, they started kissing, and then the guards were like, "Separate them."
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was a deep. It was a deep monologue. Yeah. So yeah, I love the levity of, you know, it had this like seriousness, but then it gives you just a little bit of humor sprinkle, just, you know, so it's not too heavy, too dark, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's a nice balance. But yeah, no, so you kind of get what I'm going with the parallels a little bit, you know, with as far as the story beats. Still an awesome film, you know, but hey, it's like it doesn't matter, because like if it works well, it works well, and you know, if you do it right, you do it right.
Yeah, I would actually say that there's probably more character development in this than The Matrix, and I'm pretty sure we liked The Matrix. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, see, like, if you don't like the first Matrix, that is, like, yeah, I don't know, like, what's your purpose in life? Because, like, that first Matrix was just a classic. Anyway, so there we have this setup, but, Charlize gets shot trying to, you know, stop the mercenaries from getting the couple. I think that's what happened, right? And then, like, you know, did she find out she couldn't heal?
Yeah. Well, the mercenaries came in and ambushed them because Booker sold them out. And so Joe and Nikki get taken by the mercenaries. And then Andy fights the rest of them off while she's trying to protect Booker and Niall. Mm. And in that fight, she gets shot. So they, Andy, Niall, and Booker, because at this point they don't know Booker's the traitor, decide that they have to go to, I think it's Berlin, mm-hmm. but it was actually filmed in London, so it's a bit confusing mm-hmm. if you recognize cities. Mm-hmm. They have to go to Berlin to save Nikki and Joe from the evil pharma guy.
Right.
That's where we start our third act of the movie.
Exactly. Yeah. So they going into the big baddie's corporate building and shooting it up.
Yeah. So before they go in, Niall's like, I don't know if this is for me. I want to go say, like, I may live forever, but my family is alive now, and I want to say bye to them or live as long as I can with them until I can't. And so she leaves Booker and Andy to go storm the castle. Mm-hmm. And while she left, Andy gave her a gun, and when she went to check the gun, she realized that the gun was empty, and Booker was the person betraying them. So she then goes to Copley, who's the shady ex-CIA person, convinces him that he needs to go and help her save Andy, Niall, or Andy, Booker, Joe, and Nikki from the evil pharma guy. And he realizes that, so he originally was selling them to the pharma guy so that he could find a cure for cancer, because that's how he lost his wife. And he realized that a cure for cancer wouldn't do as much good as what Andy and her team have done throughout history in changing and saving single lives here and there, really changed the course of the world's history.
That's right. Now, Andy's worst fear is becoming a reality, meaning that she's not healing, like, so she's really getting a taste of mortality finally. So, like, yeah, she's angry and she's confused. Like, she knows what she needs to do, but now she's kind of like, well, I can't just run in, you know, just head first, knowing that I'm gonna heal up. I can actually die this time. But you know, it's an awesome sequence where, you know, when they going in, they, you know, they save the two and they're trying to shoot their way out, you know, some mercenaries that kind of come around the corner and almost have Andy dead to rights. Like, you know, one of the teammates like jumps in front of her and take the bullets, so, you know, she don't get killed. So pretty much her team is starting to be kind of a protective glass around her, because they know she can't get shot. If she gets shot, she's dead. Like, everyone else is cool.
So yeah, so we find out that they're not really immortal. They do have a time limit on their life, and we realize that the reason why Niall is was actually made as the next immortal was because Andy lost her immortality and is now at the end of her lifespan. Mm-hmm. So Niall's the new female lead of the group.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Andy is like the kind of gonna be kind of like the Professor X of the team, just kind of hanging back and, you know, devising a plan for everybody and like, okay, go go do the thing. And I love how this particular film, you know, just sets up further, you know, discoveries and revelations and things like that within you know, this world. And I think they announced the sequel, right? Did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the movie ends with it's set up for a sequel. Just imagine how every basically Fast and Furious movie ends. You're like, yep, okay, we know the sequel's coming. Got it. Thank you.
And then have you like gels and like, all right, cool. You know,
yeah.
And so now stupid
quarantine probably delaying when we can watch the sequel.
Or yeah, if they even film the sequel.
I mean, yeah, that's the problem. No one can go film it.
Yeah, sucks. Yeah, but no, I mean, like I said, I don't want to give away I don't want to give away like the ending, like kind of post credit scenes, but it's definitely like, ooh, that the sequel's gonna be interesting, you know. So yeah, a lot more lore to explore in the second one. That's what
I mean. This movie was also directed by a woman, a black woman. Her name's Gina Prince Bythewood.
Love and Basketball, baby.
She directed Love and Basketball, The Secret Life of Bees. So she has some nice movies under her belt, and I think this is her first big action movie, and she brings it. She did an awesome job. So yeah. Between two female leads and a woman behind the camera, you should support this movie just for that, but yeah. Also because it's a fun movie. I think it's in the top five or the top.
Yeah, it's like a top Netflix five
release.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was good. And like you were saying, like props to the director and props to Charlize. You know, like Charlize was in a position, and this is kind of like, it goes for like all people who's in a position to make decisions, right? It's like Charlize could have easily reached out to, a known director, a known action director. She could have reached out to like the John Wick director, whatever, you know, whoever. But she chose, because she's a producer, she chose to reach out to Gina. It's like, hey, do you want to do this? You know, just to have that opportunity, just for the opportunity for Gina to say yes. I mean, that's the most important thing.
She is an example of someone in power using that power to open the door for someone that doesn't have the power to bust that door open for themselves.
Right. So, and Gina has been around since Love and Basketball was like the mid-90s. I mean, she's been grinding.
Forever.
Yeah, it's like she's been in the game. It's just like no one has been giving her those calls and giving her opportunities to do an old guard, you know. But like I said, man, I love Charlize already, but just like what she do behind the camera, the decisions she makes, like you have to be like Charlize, like you put your money where your mouth is, like you do what you say you're gonna do and you do it.
which is not always easy, so it's awesome.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and same goes for Margot Robbie with Birds of Prey. Like she reached out and got what's her name, I forgot her name, the director, but yeah, got her in there, which is awesome.
Right. For Birds of Prey.
Right. So it's cool. It was good to see. It's good to see. and I got to rewatch Love and Basketball again, just off general principle. It's been a while. I need to rewatch it. I know we don't have to review it because
the director of Birds of Prey is Kathy Yan.
Yes. Yes. But yeah. All right. Yeah. So our scale of quarantine, the ratings go as such. As on the sofa, meaning that it's a great, 2 hours or so of your time. Definitely watch it. Like give it your attention. You will not be disappointed. Putting your shoes on, contemplating going outside. Meaning that it's meh. It's not the worst. It's not great. I probably might watch something else before I watch this. And going outside, meaning that I am fully prepared to possibly get COVID and or police beat down before I sit at home and watch this film. So what you got?
I mean, it's ass on the sofa for me. I've watched it twice already. I'm adding to the whole Netflix algorithm of this is a popular movie. I mean, it has so many elements of other movies that I enjoy that are just sort of eye candy, like that we've mentioned.
Yeah.
Like Highlander and
Matrix.
I mean, Mission Impossible. I mean, yeah. James Bond-esque. I mean, it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Atomic Bond. I mean, it's all those action candy movies that I enjoy. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, totally. It definitely gets a buns on couch for me. And just for the reason I was saying, you know, how the movie really wasn't afraid to let the film breathe and let the audience get to know the team, get to know the individuals, go into backstory, give us the exposition, things like that. You know, like I'm glad it wasn't slam bang because it wouldn't have done the characters justice. Like I felt like I'm really glad it really took time to let the characters talk so you kind of know the dynamics between everyone and their jokes. And just like that scene, you know, when everyone's back and I forget, was it Booker that gave Charlize like the piece of the, was it baklava? I forgot what it was. It was like
Yeah.
Like she ate it and they're like, okay. And then she was just like, just sounding off the ingredients, like what's in it and all that stuff. You know, that lets you know like, okay, this is like a long relationship and like stuff like that just let you know, yes, they've known each other for a while, you know, and that's the thing, stuff like that, you can just get an idea of like the friendship and the camaraderie with each other with just that one scene, actually, for me. But then it took a step further, you know, then going to backstories with each other and all that stuff. So I really love that the action on top of the action sequences, which were well executed. Like I said, you know, Gina, the director, did an awesome job helming this feature. Very, very skilled behind the camera. And if this is her first outing handling something of this scale and magnitude and pulls it off as well as she did.
Wow. She should be doing more of these movies. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. So, yeah. And plus, I mean, Charlize, anything she do, I'm there. Like, yeah, Charlize. But anyway, my African sister, you know, she's from South Africa. So I have to claim her as African. That's my African sister. I got to claim her. Yeah, but yeah, so two buns down for the Old Guard. Please watch this movie. It's such an awesome ride.
Yeah, is this family friendly?
No. No. I mean, okay.
It's rated R.
Yes. Yeah.
But, I mean, no one really... Yes, it's bloody.
You think? Well, even though like they come back, when they kill mercenaries and stuff, yeah, it's bloody. But even like when they kind of suffer mortal wounds, yeah, it looks pretty graphic. But then it heals up like Wolverine. But
right, yeah, because there's a scene where Booker a grenade blows up in his stomach, and so all of his intestines and stuff are sort of hanging out. Yeah, I guess that's not really kid friendly.
No, not really, no.
Yeah, you know, I was in seventh grade, I went to and saw where my mom was cutting up the anatomy body. I think I turned out perfectly fine.
Yeah, of course you did. Yeah, you know, you're functional.
Also, what's great about this movie is a lot of times action movies throw in the forced romance, and there is a love story between Joe and Nikki, but it feels real. It doesn't feel forced because they've been together for so long. So right. That, and the only time they really show it is in that one scene where I quoted them. Mm-hmm. It was nice.
Yeah, beautiful monologue. Yeah, I mean, like I said, they've been with each other forever, so, you know, of course you will have those feelings.
Right. Normally, one of these movies would be, oh, we have to go save the chick, but instead it was, we have to go save the two gay guys.
True. Yeah, the ladies got to go save the two gay dudes. Yeah, well, which is cool, you know? Hey, damsel in distress, like, it expands, like, exactly.
Yeah. Saving the queens. Yep.
Exactly. Cool. All right, guys. Well, like I said, thanks for tuning in and listening to our review of The Old Guard. Yeah, so like the flip side, Thursday, I think you're going to enjoy that particular throwback.
Right, so Thursday would have been the beginning of Comic-Con in San Diego. And so since we can't go to Comic-Con, we figured we would do an ode to Comic-Con in a movie that sort of makes light of the people that go to those things and the actors that attend them.
Yes. And we will leave you guys guessing until Thursday on that one. All right, guys, until Thursday, we wish everyone safe physical distancing and
wear your mask.
Yes. Peace.